Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Galactic Sun, and it is the eighth day of the Red Skywalker Wave Spell, and it is the spectral moon day 27. And I am acting really spectral because I am not on time. I don't even have a conscience about it. That's the true spectral indicator, is that usually if I'm not on time, I feel like I have been remiss in some way. But this week, this is my second late podcast in a row and an ever almost, and I don't know that I have any sense of even personal responsibility. I'm just riding the wave. But as indicated, I really only intended to be a day late today because that left us a little more time to breathe from the last podcast and would bridge the gap until the next one. So this was a more intentional, untimely episode. And thanks for waiting. And it's nice to find out, like, I don't get lots of fan mail, but just any kind of acknowledgement that someone noticed there wasn't a podcast felt like, oh, well, then I probably should act more responsible and professional. I am going to then just detail a little bit of this spectral finale that you might be able to witness in your own life. I think if we just start with the culture and COVID in America, we can see that a lot of people who have been quarantining for a while, most people I know are still, in fact, in a form of quarantine or significant unemployment. So there is all of this different kind of behavior that's been in place for 60, 80, 90 days almost. And so people are, I would say, falling apart within that paradigm. That would be the most obvious indicator of the spectral moon really culminating, is that we were able to manifest change in the planetary moon. We were able to sort of ride the fire of intention of completely upending society in the solar moon. But here in the end of the spectral moon, there's everything from fatigue with the concepts that we've used to redefine our lives, and breakdowns either in personal behavior or the kind of goals and busyness that we might have used to occupy ourselves for some of this time. I'm going to speak, from my own personal experience of this, just because that's all I know. When we interact less, I don't spend a lot of time on the phone anymore, diagnosing each day's kind of uneventfulness. I think there was a conspiratorial connection I had with at least my kids in the first long stretches of being in lockdown, and then it just changed to, like, how interesting is it to repeat to each other what is also already, pretty boring to experience firsthand. So with that said, let me just speak to, I'm also going to draw in the Red Skywalker Wave Spell, because I think using the conjunction of the spectral moon and the Red Skywalker Wave Spell, we get, a lot of definition of why some of us would be behaving, I'm going to say loosely, and that just means either it's unmotivation or lack of focus, a lack of discipline, a lack of
perseverance, a lack of clarity, just, I would say, also effectively living in the moment and not being able to sort of pin down long-range plans, which is true for everyone, even if we're not using Mayan astrology as an overlay, because we don't know. So the spectral moon Skywalker wave spell in my life means that I'm really drawn to addiction. And for me, addiction is not going to be like some slippery slope back into hard drugs. I mean, I never used hard drugs, so there would be no backwards to get, but it's not that kind of addiction, really. It's I'm historically, forever, pretty much since I was about 4 years old, had food addiction issues, food satiation needs, and using food to control other people, like refusing to eat. And then in my teens, into my 20s, I was bulimic. So I'm way, way older than that. You know, that was half a lifetime ago. And yet, because in the pandemic, you know, a lot of people are at home, I think food addiction has surfaced for so many, and food satiation. So by that, I mean, like, maybe you're not going to be an active food addict when you have more choices about when and where you eat. But for the moment, you're using food to supplicate other feelings and to escape. So that's kind of my go-to forever, a wrestling point for me. So to have the culture really embracing that as an empath has to me felt like a lot of old behaviors resurfacing. But Red Skywalker wave spell is so much in its shadow about addiction, because, you know, I explained this pretty clinically last time. Red Skywalker, the tribe, is about taking drugs, but just in a really ancient indigenous way, which is that we would use something that was a mind alterant in order to blow our minds and receive much more surreal, higher consciousness teachings or images, visions, so that we could act as a prophet in our tribe, in our society, and give people this story that we've lived in our minds by traveling, by journeying in a way that we would now call being high or stoned. And in that journey and all of that sort of apocryphal visioning, we have a story that we can tell the people that were not able to do that because they had to, you know, raise food so that we could all eat. So that's the old way of getting stoned and high. And then we have a much more recreational tradition in our modern times. But in the Red Skywalker wave spell, there's a combination of feeling like you're high, whether or not you imbibe anything, because Red Skywalker, the wave spell, is just the definition of that experience, that feeling, that journey, that daydream that we enter when we, you know, our bodies are awake, but our minds are elsewhere. And it is also like the stirring to be out of body. And the way a lot of people get out of body is through fixations that make us forget what we're feeling physically or where we are physically. So if we're geographically limited in our movements, such as being at home or not able to travel more broadly than our own towns and cities, then it's a perfect time to be like, well, I want to jack myself out and, you know, pretend somehow I want to have an imagination that's so active and kind of out there that I forget where I am physically. So you can do that all by yourself if you're mature, or if you're me regressing, you can use stimulants. And I'm talking specifically about my late in life appetite for caffeine. And, sugar, I mean, there's things that are uppers. Can you hear it? You know, when you get up, when you get high, then you're skywalking. So I don't know if you have that wrestling match with yourself or your substances, or if you see it around you, because I think it's interesting to see who's drawn to kind of relapse behavior in a more prototypical way, i.e. recovering alcoholics and addicts, where, you know, I have a lot of those in my life, and seeing, like, well, who's being drawn back to that? Who's being tempted and who's succumbing? We may not know, right, because we're separate, but then you might know, and that's helpful information, that the Skywalker Wave Spell really tests addicts and alcoholics who are, you know, very much the ones that used the drugs that were in an ancient indigenous way, used moderately, the ones that overuse now. They're going to be really tested in this Wave Spell. But the spectral moon is such a heavy combo then, because here we are like dissolving, we are experiencing liberation, and that's liberation from linear thoughts and demands and control, because that's sort of what happens when a wave spell is building for its first 10 stages. It really isn't that curved. It's rising almost like a straight line trajectory to the sky, and the curvature happens when the wave breaks. So I think we're always have the potential. The energy field of a building wave is not linear. It's rising, but, you know, it has all of this tumult within it, but then the tumult snaps alert or awake so that we can see it when the wave breaks. It's always there in a latent form, and then when the wave breaks, it really is the moment when all the chaos that was sort of buried within something that looked like it was just rising sort of in an almost straight diagonal line to the sky. It looks pretty temperate. Well, when the wave snaps, we find out, no, it was always really wild. It was sort of tamed, and then it became, it relented and became its wild self, this wild wave. And that is the spectral moment. That's why I'm talking about it, because we're in the wild moment. We're in the curvature, the chaos, the really fast moving, spiraling downward. I mean, that's what's so cool for surfers, right? That they're in the tube. That is the spiral of a falling waveform. And it stays really hollow and fascinating. And then it's just complete white water. But shifting into the downfall, as I described, I remember I had to podcast on the first day, and I think I podcasted early, so I earned one. I podcasted because it was shocking to go from the planetary moon, 28 days of that, to the first day of, oh, this is the collapse of 280 days of growth. We're collapsing now, and we're going to do it in 28 days. And here we are on day 27. So it's a settling process. It is not a loss of the growth, the learning, and the visioning that we did. It's just a settling of all that back into ourselves, into our earth life. You know, we aim for the sky and we come back to earth, and we come back with this vast experience and commitment to growth with us. But I would just say that we don't have it like sewn into our beings the way we might have thought or felt at the top of the peak of the wave in the planetary moon, because that's what happens in the spectral moment. We each individually or in a small collective have these aspirations and achievements that happen over 10 moons, and then we lose track of each other and even ourselves, and what we have achieved or what we feel we possess comes apart, comes unthreaded. We can't have our grip on anything when the wave is falling apart. And so when we land here at the end of the spectral moon and move into the crystal moon, which I think, you know, is an even better time to evaluate, like, what just happened? That's the whole theme of the crystal tone, is to settle down from the broken wave. This wave break moment of the spectral is pretty active, and the crystal one is bringing things back into stillness slowly, you know, over the time of the tones elapse. So it'll take 28 days to do that as well. But right now we can sort of anticipate that we are coming towards that stilling process, you know, uncertain of what we still have from what we achieved or what we might felt we built or owned could account for after the planetary moon. So where I began was just saying that the spectral moon and the undoing that lasts a long time, 27 days now, you know, it really does sort of ravage us in a beautiful way. I mean, I think most of us who listen, and not because we're better than, but because we're kind of aiming for consciousness around it, and knowledge is power. I mean, knowledge diffuses confusion. So if we know it's the spectral moon, then we're more able to embrace it, perhaps, or accept it. One or the other, or both, you know, back and forth, sometimes embracing, sometimes just tolerating. But knowing that's what's happening, it is, I think, easier, honestly, to just estimate, like, yeah, we've been in quite a ride, the time of being liberated through the act of letting go. So we release, and then we're liberated ourselves. You know, we're being released from stultifying experiences. At the same time, we have to let go of our grip on the things that we believe, you know, we need or should have. Probably we get to keep the things we need. You know, that's probably what you're going to see as the wave stills, is that you have what you need, and yet you didn't know that. So I would say the spectral Skywalker moment makes some of us, and I'm raising my hand here, just like, not willful, but just like, you know, I'm a little beleaguered, and I'm also really inward. And so that was circling back to why I didn't podcast yesterday, even though it was a blue storm day, blue resonance storm on Wednesday. And that means that we're now 19, then 20 days away from the blue storm wave spell. I've really had a hard time in the last two blue storm days. I am a blue storm, and coming home to my days has been not a point of suffering, but just really chaotic, like crazy behavior. And I can't affect too many people as a storm, because I'm not really moving through the world in crowds, but I affect myself. I have an impact on my own self. Just being like, well, that is some crazy bullshit. What is going on with you? Can you not handle the home base of your own tribe? And I think the answer is yes, I can't quite handle it. And so you had a blue storm day, and blue resonance storm means that it is sort of the premonition of the blue storm wave spell to come. And it, you know, we still have the rest of Red Skywalker and White World Bridger to get through before we land there. Today's yellow galactic sun, and it is a remembrance of the yellow sun wave spell prior to this one, the Red Skywalker. It's an integration of the yellow sun themes and time into the center here of the Red Skywalker moment. And I often call that like a replication of the famous Mayan weavings, because what is extant in Guatemala or the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, I guess Belize, just sort of these territories of the Maya time, is still incredible textiles. And so I like to picture the Zolk'in, right, looking at it, you know, like looking at it as a graphic, the way we can see the Zolk'in with its sort of DNA strand kind of portal design. Like, that to me very much looks like it's all stitched together. It's one stitch after another with raised embroidery where the portals are. And then this moment when the galactic day appears within a wave spell, because it always does. The eighth day of every wave spell is a reference point to the wave spell prior. I find that just to be like, just imagine that we're threading a yellow sun. You know, the last yellow sun thread is going into the heart of this Red Skywalker embroidery or raised weaving. So you have a remembrance. What I really remember about the yellow sun wave spell, because I'm not sure that any of us can be like, oh, that was when this happened. You know, small things happen, important things happen, but maybe they're not just like super memorable things happen. But in the yellow sun wave spell, I didn't really realize it until maybe the planetary day. You know, I had to spend every morning walk my dogs wearing a bikini. Like, it just became really important. It was very warm here in Southern California in that time, but I became someone who wanted to embrace the sun with my whole skin, you know, not afraid of the sun, not covered up from the sun, but just like, no, I want just myself and the sun to be, you know, to fully meet. So I had my Santa Barbara Barbie moment. And today it's foggy every morning now. It's part of our marine layer seasonally. And I was just laughing, like, look at how I'm still like a little bit golden, like a baked goods. And how that felt like a memory of the yellow sun time. So you might have your version of that. And then just to anticipate a bit, the transition to the crystal moon should be pretty smooth, right? Because it is a smoothing process that we embrace in the crystal tone, as I sort of described, like the settling of the fall is what happens after the fall. So we have the fall for 28 days in the 13 moon year, and then we have the settling of it for 28 days. And some of the other words that Jose Arguelles chose for the crystal tone is to cooperate and dedicate and universalize. And one of them is probably a noun, cooperation. So it is a time of cooperation. Like the settling down of what essentially is a conflict behind us, because every hero's journey is just a long embrace of challenge, which is conflict. When we get to the crystal tone, we are in the resolution of all of that. And so we want to get along. A resolution is getting along. You know, if you think of a comedy, getting along is the resolution in a really like happy way, happy and joyous, peaceful coming together. In a tragedy, the cooperation is sort of different. It's going to be, you know, just the cessation of a fight or a resistance, and not maybe an acceptance, but an absolute humbling to tragic circumstance. But again, there's not going to be a fight about the death that, you know, the play ends with. Instead, everyone is either, you know, on a battlefield in a process of dying, like they can't resist the ambience of destruction and death anymore. They can't fight it. Or, you know, one person is gone and everyone else is grieving, which is, again, a cooperative communal experience. I don't think that you have to worry in your life like, oh no, Lisa Starr said that my crystal tone and my whole year could have a tragic ending, and that the crystal moment is, you know, going to feel that way, because I feel like, oh, just a huge grieving process. Of course, I know, I know tangentially someone who is grieving the loss of their partner, and he's doing it publicly. I talked about it a few podcasts ago. Mark Maron, the Red Galactic Earth, is mourning his girlfriend who was a yellow overtone warrior. I'm just pretty fascinated by someone who puts a lot of his emotional honesty on air for millions to access. Like, it's not just for me, it's for millions of people to, you know, he is willing and even wanting, I think, to expose himself to so many people to demonstrate honestly the emotional reveal of grieving and other things he's gone through. So that's cool. And then from a sociological perspective, you can just like watch and bear witness to somebody's private, usually private experience. But so his year, his crystal tone as we enter it, having just lost a beloved soulmate, could feel like the tragedy. But, you know, I still think that there is purity and peace in the lack of conflict, and that really has to be the emphasis of what the crystal moon is. It is resolution. And okay, so I said cooperation, and then I said to dedicate and universalize. And those two verbs, again, abstract in a way, but we want to dedicate ourselves to all that lives. That's the inquiry for the moon, for the tone. How do I dedicate myself to all that live? So it's a selfless time, and that's part of the cooperation and the willingness to be ultimately of service, that we resolve the year, we resolve our wave spells always in the crystal tone, where the question early on, how can I best be of service, becomes an absolute impetus by the end. You know, it's a process always, these wave spells from you know, attracting a destiny and feeling sort of hamstrung by the challenges within it, and then choosing a path where we can be of service in order to ultimately resolve the challenge, resolve what we're facing that looks overwhelming. If we choose a path of service early on because we're shown how to be of service, then we can end things in this resolution moment really ably, dedicate ourselves to others as the penultimate part of our process. And then to universalize, I think that it's just one of those words. It starts with the universe, then it's universal, and then universalize. It's like the ultimate verb form of a simple noun. And a noun becomes an adjective, becomes a verb. Those are kind of the worst. But to universalize is to make something available to everyone and connect us all universally through that action. So again, that's a pretty noble aim. I'm thinking a lot about my father as I talk about this, because my father is, he's difficult. He's a red crystal earth. He is a portal. He was born during Mercury retrograde, so he thrives in contrarianness or something, you know, showing you a path backward. He's definitely narcissistic and patriarchal. He had a stroke about 10 years ago that took away his empathy. So he essentially devolved to sociopathic urges. And he's not all that. He's certainly not violent in any way, but he's crystal. He is a red crystal earth. He is very cooperative. He is very interested in universalizing things. He dedicates himself for a patriarchal narcissist with some kind of emerging sociopathy. My dad is super easygoing. And I just really enjoy that you can't, no matter what, you can't take the crystal tone out of a person. They will want to do something that extends to include others, they want an outreach that creates cooperation. They want to agree. They want to get along. They want to resolve. So we're stepping into that. And there'll be plenty of time to look at it more deeply. So just to get you through the next couple of days, we're going to move to Red Solar Dragon on Friday. What date is that? So Friday, May 29th will be Red Solar Dragon, starting another ribbon of the 20 tribes back at Red Dragon. And then we will have White Planetary Wind, which heads up to that on Saturday. Like, that's a very patriarchal kind of Mayan description. And again, the Maya didn't have to be patriarchal. They probably were, but maybe they weren't. But certainly we are now driven for hundreds of years, thousands, obviously, in terms of Western civilization, by this sort of hierarchy where men lead and rule and overlord. And so White Planetary Wind is a day that describes how men behave on Earth, how the Father behaves on Earth, because it's White Wind, which is Father Sky and the very beautiful parental patriarchal divinity. Patriarchal doesn't have to mean evil. It can mean paternal. So let's say a paternal divinity. The Mayan teaching is that we enter our father's world when we take our first breath. And yet it's the planetary father, the planetary paternal dynamic. So just be ready to feel oppressed that day so that you can see through that first overlay and deeper and find your God, your masculine divinity, not excluding the feminine divinity that, you know, rises on Friday, Red Solar Dragon. I mean, I kind of just now bypassed Red Dragon. I don't mean to. I think you're going to drop into Friday, Red Solar Dragon, and have this fierce, intentional impulse to nurture. In a way, I want to say this about addiction. It's like, it looks so sideways, so wrong when people get strung out, when people have heavy alcoholism. But I really believe that it all begins when people are looking for nurturance and, the mother. So when we have this Red Skywalker wave spell, and I'm saying the shadow energy of it that you might be grappling with is, you know, addictive tendencies, it's perfect that we kind of get set on fire and are pulsing our intention in the solar tone to be like, where's mom? I need mom. I mean, maybe also to mother. And that's a perfect example of recovery from alcoholism and addiction, all the various forms, is to be of service, which circles back to what I just said about the wave spells. But, you know, being of service really means I'm available to tend to you, to nurture you, to parent you, to provide for you. Maybe it is, you know, a maternal nourishment that we're being instructed. Of course, there's a paternal nourishment that can also be invoked when we're of service to others. But I just like, you know, if you are grappling with any kind of hardship around what you imbibe or how you're stuck in patterns of escape, then just use Friday to find your great sky earth mother and be embraced. And you'll be offering that to others as well. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.